Okay, let's start. Shir number two, third shir overall. We did the Hakdama first time. Nobody asked for Zoom, so they don't get. Nisuv Hakochos VaHaizunam. So we're going to talk about channeling one's energy and how to use one's energy. That's the theme tonight for ourselves, Chinuch, children. So he says that let's begin to elaborate on this point. He says Shitzarach Tamid LeChazekes Hatzad HaChiyuvi. We always have to focus on the positive. We always want to highlight the positive when it comes to our children and to connect them to positivity. And this is a yesod in chinuch for all children, especially, he says, with children who have developmental issues, children who are struggling in certain areas. You need to highlight the positive and the good things that they can experience. Now, the Rambam says that every person is born with energy. Every person is born entirely filled with energy. And they all have an active part of them that wants to get out.
So they cry
in the pencil. So he says that all of the chiyus of a person is trying to channel this energy. We're all simply trying to take the energy we have and to channel it in some way. And this energy, the Rambam writes in Shmona Perek, this is all in Perek Vav, the energy is divided into five different streams. Okay? And what are they? The first is hazan. That's the guf. That's the biological part. Stomach, liver, heart, things like that. That's one area that takes up energy. The second is margish. These are your senses, the five senses. That's the second thing that takes up energy. The third is the medama. That's your koach hadimyon, your ability to imagine. The fourth is misorer. This is your ratzon, taiva, teshuka, yetzer, abilities, things like that. The things that your drive, your inner drives. And five is hasichli, the intellect, intellectual things, memory, understanding, chapping things, wisdom. Those are the five things that take a person's energy. They can all fit into one of those five categories. Now, this energy works in these five streams, he says, but it's all one energy. That's the yisod. It's all five streams, but you have to understand all of those five streams are all coming from the same source of energy in all these different realms. And the Rambam says, nefesh adam echasi. It's all one. Everything that's working is all coming from one place. It just manifests in these areas of intellect and taiva and biological issues, all those things. And this is exactly it's the power station, he says, where all the energy comes from. Everything that you do is going to come from this power station of the energy that you're born with, and everything that's going to, just like a power station is going to run the stove, and it's going to run the oven, and it's going to run the microwave, and it's going to run the lights and things like that, but it's all coming from that single power station. So he quotes the Rambam. I think I sent you the Rambam in the chat. I sent you the Rambam. This is in Perek Rishon of Shmona Prakim in the Wikipedia, the WikiLinks thing over there. So in Perek Rishon, it begins da shenefesh adam achas. Right? He says da shenefesh adam achas. The nefesh of a person is all one. V'yesh la'pu'ulos acheres chalukos. But there's different manifestations of this nefesh, yikrum ktsasa pu'losahim nefashos, and they come from we call them nefashos. V'yichashev ba'avur zeh sheyesh la'adam nefashos v'os. We think, many people think that we have, well, there's different parts to the person. Kmo shechashu harofim, as the doctors thought, ad shesam rosh harofim psichas sifrosh nefashos shlosh. He quotes from some, you know, Greek doctor, that there's three things, there's tivis, chiyunis, and nefashos. Upamim shiikru kochos chelakim, we call them different things. Ad sheyemar chelke hanefesh, we call them the chelke hanefesh, the parts of the nefesh. V'zeh Hashem yasu hafilosofim harbe pamim, this is what the philosophers come up with. V'einam rotzim ba'omrim chelke shi mischalekes kechelke gufus. You don't mean that there's like different parts, there's fingernails and there's hair and things like that. Aval heim monim puloseh, they are counting the different actions and the manifestations of the nefesh. Hachulkos shimchal hanefesh kechalakim lechal hamechubra lechalakim hem. They're all attached though. V'atayodea, and he says shetikun amidos he refuas hanefesh kochosah. So the Rambam says that you have tikun amidos. You work on your midos. That is a refua for the nefesh. You're working on your neshama. U'kmo shaharofei asher yirpa haguf, is just like the doctor works on the physical. Tzarech sheyeda tchila haguf asher yirpa kula chalakav mehem. And the doctor works in your body. He's got to know, you know, that the liver is not the same thing as the heart, is not the same thing as the brain, it's not the same thing as the hands. There's all different parts. Rotzoni lomar guf echad. But he also needs to know that what? They're all working together. You have to know there's parts and they work together. But Sarach Shiyeda Eze Dvarim Yachilu V'Yishmar Mehem V'Eze Dvarim. And he goes on to explain. And then he says at the end here, at the end of this piece, he says, "Rupnez Omer Shechelke Nevashim Chamisha." There are five: Hazan, Hamargish, Hamadam, Misorah, Hasichli. The five things he set out. So the Rambam says that the Nefesh Adam is Echasi. So according says Rabbi Hoffman, what is the translation of Nefesh? It means energy. That's what it means. In the Rambam's Lashon, Nefesh means your energy and how you are manifesting that energy. This energy comes in five different planes, but it's all one thing. And people make a mistake and they think that a person has different yetzer, and he has taiva for eating, and he's a taiva for women. But we see here in the Rambam is highlighting that it's all one thing, and that's a yesod gadol that he wants to lay out. It's all one energy that it's coming from, and the mahus of this energy is that you have an so he says an impulse that pushes a person to have sipak vahana. Your energy needs to be fulfilled. You have the energy needs to go somewhere. So either you're going to use it in one area or you're going to use it another way. But if you're not filling it somewhere, it's going to come out somewhere else. And now the question is, how do you give sipak to that energy? That was the hakdama. How do we give sipak? How do we fill our energy, our nefesh, to give it something that it needs? So he explains as follows. That this, each person obviously has their own way to open up and their own maftayach. And a person has a yetzer that's stronger in some area, and a person has a yetzer that's weaker in some areas. And according to this, there are differentiations of how the energy is going to work for different people. What's going to give you a sipuk? What's going to give you a geshmak? And there are some things that are going to need a lot of energy and something that needs less energy. So he says, now, each individual can route their energy in the place that's going to give them the most sipuk. This is Tikkun HaYetzer we spoke about last time. He says, for example, he says, a person has, he talks about himself, he says, he says, a person has a chush musicali. A person has a chush for music. He has something for music. Now, if I give him a hana in that realm of music, I feed his musical chush that he has, so that's going to, you know, I give him an instrument, something like that. Now, he's going to be more himself. And this recreation is going to give him a hana in everything else. And that will give him a place to open up in other areas. And he says, no, there are scientists, there are researchers who can be mashkia themselves for hours in their like particular thing. Like, that could be like a researcher in like some type of ladybug. He can mamash handle in ladybugs for hours. This type of ladybug and this one from this region. They can handle that for hours. Why? It gives them a sipuk. They're taking all of their energy and it gives them a sipuk in that realm. And they're mevater on all types of things. They don't go to Midnight Madness because ladybugs, and they don't do anything else. They're doing only ladybugs. And they're being mevater on all types of geshmak things. Why? Because this is feeding their sipuk, their energy. For some people, that's with them. And therefore, this means that you have to take that yetzer and you have to give it a different hana. You have to take your energy needs to be fed somehow. Giving that yetzer some form of proper thing in a way that's going to make it feel fulfilled. And if it doesn't get it over here, it's going to get it somewhere else. Your energy needs to be fulfilled in some area. So he talks about here in three steps. And he says, B'derech klal, a healthy person, you know, divides his energy into different areas. And he says, if a person takes all of his energy, you know, intellectually, and he only focuses on intellectual things, and he only uses his brain for his energy, then he's going to be lacking in other areas. And if he's mashkia, he mamish jumps in all the time to things for his senses, and he's only focusing on his physical senses, so he's going to be using his energy, and he's not going to have it for his intellect. If you're so obsessed in one area. Because when I focus all of my energy in one particular area, the other areas are going to not have energy for things they need. So he explains that not every single person is born with the same amount of energy. Some people are born with a lot of energy, and some people are born with less energy. And then he talks about the idea of an ilui. He says that one time in the middle of Avad, Rav Isaac Sher said that in Slobodka, they would be mechanachas in the phrase, ilui zeh lo ben adam. That an ilui is not a human being. It's a funny thing to say. Usually we put an ilui on a pedestal. We look for the Eloi to highlight such a person. He says, so everyone said, what does that mean? He says, there are many Eluim in Am Yisrael. They became Gedol Yisrael. But, so what does that mean that an Eloi is not a Ben Adam? So Rav Isaac Sher said that I'm not saying to be Mazalzel in Eluim. They're good. You know, some of my best friends are Eluim. The Eluim are good people. But what it means is that in Slabadka, they were Mechanachas, that an Eloi is not a Ben Adam. He says, let me give you a mashal. He says, a person spends all of his day on tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make him taller. He davens and davens, says, Hashem, you got to make me taller. One day he wakes up, and he's so happy. What happened? He saw that Hashem answered his tefillahs, and he made him taller. So he gets out of bed, and he falls over. What happened? Because one leg is longer than the other. The other leg remained as it was. He put all of his kochos that his one leg is much taller, and now he can't walk normally. So Rav Isaac Sher said, Ilui hulo ben Adam. A ben Adam is a person who balances everything properly. That his two legs are the same length. That's a ben Adam. That his two legs are the same length. And all of the parts of the guf are in a way that they fit exactly according to his proportions. An Ilui is a person who's brilliant in one area, more than the area. So that's the depth. An Ilui is a person who's outstanding in this area. But in all the other areas, this person is used all of his energy in his Iluishness. And now he doesn't have those energy in other areas. But the center point of him is become, because everything is focused on his Gemara, is focused in this brilliance in this area, everything is off. Now we know this to be a fact, right? We all know people who are Iluisha people, but there's often like there's off. They're off in some way. Socially they're not right. There's something. Why? Because says Rav Isaac Sher, all of their kochos have been drained into their brilliance. And therefore, they're not using their energies in a balanced way. That's what he said. So in Slabodka,
does this include Torah? I mean,
what?
Does this include for Torah?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Ragachev seems to have been... I mean, Iluyim, or not Iluyim, we promote Hasmada.
Right? He's saying that in Slabodka, they were Mechanachas as well. He's not saying good, bad, or indifferent. What he's saying is that the education that I received is that we were taught that one's energy needs to be equally distributed in a healthy way. That's what he was saying. There's always going to be exceptions to the rule. But to be mechanic oneself is to be mechanic oneself to be balanced in those energies. So he says again, in Slabadka there are mechanachas, that you need to be a gadol b'Torah. But at the same time, it's usher to let not work on your Yerushamayim, on your Midos Tovos. A person needs to work in a way in his tchum, in his, you know, reality together, and make sure that no part of his makeup is lacking on area. You always need to be developing yourself in a way that you're balanced, that you're, all the proportions make sense. Your feet are the same length, your hands are the same size.
Is this the ashtach on yeshivas that only do Gemara in high school and mismanage and ignore the chumash or?
I don't think.
There's something after chumash I've heard. There's something called Nuvi.
No, what do you call it? The Musar and other stuff.
I don't think that. I mean, I guess we could use that. Well, I think he's talking like in the total personality, meaning Torah, but also like Liman Torah, but also just Midos, you know, Menschlichkeit.
Well, how do you work? How do you get that Midos? You don't.
I'll tell you, so you'll need Musar, all those things.
Yes, you do need it.
Correct, right. Correct, 100%, for sure. For sure.
You need to learn Musar.
Your Shemayim, Amunah.
What? Let's calm down. I didn't say anything about Navi.
I didn't say Navi.
So he says, Zosa Maris, this teaches us what? A person needs to divide his kochos, his energy, balanced, b'shava, to every place according to where it's needed. So that was all a hakdama. He didn't say anything about Chinuch. That was all a hakdama to this question, Sheila. There's a disabled young man. He needs to put a lot of energy in order to move his feet, to do basic things, to move around. So he doesn't have the kochos to use them in other areas because he's spending so much of his kochos on his walking, on the basic things to get through. So Rabbi Hoffman said, if he can do some, you know, targilim, he can do some activities. So certainly he should put his effort into those things to open up those areas, so he's not considered, you know, he's not being held back in any area. On the other hand, he said, children like this are able to really jump into other tchum, into other parts of their life, and to develop a lot. And therefore, you need to give them areas that they can develop their energy, not just in areas, work in areas where they're struggling. So he says, b'derech klal, when one part of the body is not opened up, so what happens is that lo chashuv eiza chelek, doesn't matter which part of it is, so there's more koach, there's more energy that has to be used in oso b'makom acher, in another area. Meaning, if I'm not using my energy over here, then my energy is going to, you know, spurt out, you know, somewhere else, and therefore that can cause that, you know, in an area where he's able to, if he's not using one part of his body because there's a disabled part of his body, well, that leaves more energy to use in another area where he can excel. And that can use that energy in those areas. And therefore, he says that if a person is going to become depressed because of their situation, and all of his kochos are going to be lost because a person is going to be sad and he's not going to be functioning, so this person needs to find something in his area to be positive about. Because if he sits there doing nothing, if a person's depressed and they sit there doing nothing, then that energy is just wasting away. And it's not good for the body if you're not using that energy. And therefore, he says, a person needs to find a hana. He needs to find something, be mechazik him, to use that energy. And you should never allow a child to not use their skills, not use their energy. The kid needs to use his energy. You need to find a place for him to do it. So when he gets older, he'll be able to channel it in a proper way and to find his kishronos, to find his netios, in order to be successful. So he says in the next paragraph over here, each person needs to try to find for himself the maximum of his skills that he can strengthen in, and each child needs to be taught and to open up for them to really get the maximum of their potential and to use their energies the best they can. So the Vilna Gaon would say, we'll see the Vilna Gaon in a second, each person has to open up his tchum, his arena that he's in, and whatever kishonos he has to strengthen them, to be successful in these areas. And a person has to know and how to get to a place to be, you know, to reach the maximum he's able in his tchum, in his arena that he has, with all of his abilities. So he says, let's look at the Gra. This is the next Gra that I sent you, Mishlei Tes Zayin Dalet. That each person needs to know what he's capable of and to find, you know, his tachlis in this world. And, you know, in the olden days, we'd go to a Navi. But now we can't do that anymore. So let's look at the Gra, Mishlei Tes Zayin. So the Gra says, V'soda inyan shel arba psukim heim. Derech adam eich lesnaheg lelech b'rutzami yisparach ha'etz ha'tova. A person needs to know how to go through life and to find good advice. Each person has their own path in life. Each person sitting on this table, we don't expect you guys to do the same things as each other. Just like you don't look the same, you don't have the same path in life. And your nature is not the same. When there was prophets, so you go to the Navi, and the Navi would tell, oh, your tafkin life is doctor, your tafkin life is, you know, sales, whatever it is you're going to do, he would tell you exactly what it is. Lefi shorish nishmaso, ulefi tivas gufo. According to the shorish of nisham and according to the nature of your body. So he says, the Gra is highlighting here two yisodos. Shorish nishmaso, okay? And the second one is tive gufo. That the your tichunos, what your nature is, the natural part of who you are. So he gives an example. He says, if a person has the kishronos, if a person has the ability to be a magid shir, okay? But you push him to be a dayan. He should be a magid shir giving a gemara shir, but you push him into dayanus. Now, when he's a dayan, right, he's going to, you know, do what he's supposed to do, but the magid shir part of him, that part of his magid shirness, so that's going to, you know, move away from it. It's going to be hard from him. And that's going to depend on a lot of different things, a lot of different kishonos. He has a kishon to give a gemara shir, but you push him to be a dayan. He'll do it, but it's not what he's meant to be doing. He's meant to be giving a gemara shir. He's not meant to be sitting in pasuk shilas. That he has to work in the way that's going to, you know, fit his tchunos hanefesh. So he tells a story about Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He says, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach, his whole life, what was he? What was his job title? No, what was his job title? He was Rosh Yeshiva. Exactly. He fell into the trap, right? He was a Rosh Yeshiva. But he was never a Dayan. And he was never the Rav of a community. And in his tzava, he asked that they write that it was Hamid Talmidim Harbe. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. He was a Rebbe. But what did we just call him? The Posek Ador. What happened? He had Tchunos HaNefesh in one area, but he was in a different job description. The koach of him, of his psak was so strong that it couldn't be contained. He wanted to be Rosh Yeshiva, but the kochos of Rosh Hashanah's nefesh were so strong that he couldn't not be a posek. It just came out. He couldn't help it. And that's what's going to happen. If you have tchunos in some area, it's going to, the energy is going to come out in somewhere. Yeah. Okay,
so he should have been a posek, but did he want, his inner kochos wanted to be a posek.
Yeah.
But personally, he just wanted to stay.
He wanted to be Rosh Yeshiva.
I know people who are lawyers and other accountants and stuff.
Yeah.
That stopped the day their parent passed away.
Yeah.
They were like forced to, they had to do it for their parent. They hated it.
Yeah.
And they moved on to something else. They had to do it for that, but they weren't really into it.
Yeah.
They have all the degrees, they have all the things, they're doing it for years. They never enjoyed it.
For sure. Yeah. They have kochos nefesh that, and they need to be somewhere else. They can't be over here. It's just going to cover up.
Now, obviously,
Rosh Hashanah is very happy with what he did. I don't think we're not. No one's question.
He's
answering questions. And he was also Rosh Yeshiva. He did both. He loved being Rosh Yeshiva. But he had such kochos and nefesh.
Okay, let's be good at that.
Yeah.
So we're not going to start up with him. If he would have just had a job at best and been a plastic, would have come out that he also would have given shiur because he had both.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure.
That way.
We definitely know people who were, we definitely know Rabbanim who were Dayanim the whole way through. They never gave a shir. We know Magadi Shir who, you know, were Magadi Shir. No, I don't think, this is not, hopefully not a knock on Rosh Arieli, but like, I don't think anyone's going to say, on Mei Vesrim, that, you know, Rosh Arieli was like, you know, was really his chalashim to be a posting. It's hard to say that everybody who knows him meets him says, like, you know, Magad Shir. This is what he was built to do. He was built to be a Magad Shir. Sometimes it fits and sometimes it comes out in different ways. Page 47.
But honestly, he was both. I'm confused about Tzol
Zalman.
He had
kochos and nefesh to be a posek. And even though he kept on saying Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, it just, he couldn't, oh. that... That chush he had yeah. for being a posek just kept on coming
it's
through.
It's not like he had both, he still wanted to be Rosh Hashiva.
What? He wanted to be Rosh Hashiva, yeah. I don't think he was upset, he wasn't running away. Mm-hmm. But he's saying that if the person has the energy and the kochos hanefesh.
Give away, it's not handwritten.
So that's how it worked out. Now he says the following thing.
Okay, 47.
So he tells the story here. He says the Ramchal brings the Shem Arizal. Now I looked far and wide. I don't know where he says this. I looked around. I couldn't find it. But the Ramchal writes somewhere, B'Shem the Arizal, that a person needs to know that that his kishronos, his abilities, that he should be excellent in, and a person excels in one area in his life, so that is his tafkin min hashamayim, that he was sent into this world for. And he needs to do these things. If you have kishronos, you have kochos in one area, and you run away from your skills, so the Arizal said, and this is what the Ramchal says, that it's being morid b'malchus. The melech sent you into the world with skills, and to not use those kochos is being morid b'malchus. So then he brings a mashal. I don't know if the Ramchal brings a mashal or the Arizal brings a mashal, or I'm not sure who it is. He says that in the army there's a lot of different soldiers, and each one has their own tafkid. This one's in charge of the food, this one's in charge of the medicine, this one will go out to be a fighter. Each one tries to do the best they can with their tafkid. Now let me tell you, paint you a picture. The fighting unit goes out and they have a very difficult battle. A number of soldiers fall in battle and the cook hears what's going on. So the cook drops the pots and the pans, takes off the apron, runs out of the mess hall, and goes into the battlefield. He picks up a weapon, and he ambushes them, and he helps the army, and he takes down these people. So now the army comes back, and they come back to the hall, and they're looking for food. They're starving. They've been out all day fighting. They're looking for food, and what's going on? There's no food. Why? Because the cook was out there being Rambo the whole time, and he never was able to go and cook any food. So what happened? So he said, I tried to, but the battle, I had to run out. So what are they going to do with this guy? They're going to punish him because he abandoned his post. He did not do his tafkid in the army. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. He put that, that's a danger to the army because there's no food. Who's going to eat?
No, I didn't know.
Who's going to eat? So therefore, a person needs to do their tafkid, and you are a soldier in Hashem's army, and you shouldn't run away from your kochos that you have.
But that's a good example. He has kindness in both.
What?
He clearly had the ability to do the fighting as well.
Did he have the ability to do the fighting, or he picked up a gun and he got lucky? Meaning, back to the muscle, meaning the guy, you know, how is, if you have...
It's
the same muscle for life.
You're the metaphor, meaning.
Why?
That guy, his job in the world was to be the cook.
Yeah.
That's it. But we don't care about your cousins because we're running out of hours.
Yeah.
What we're comparing it to is if a guy has the ability to be a cook, right? So we're saying now your job is to make yourself a cook.
Even if you have...
Do some other job that you want to do.
I hear the muscle, but I'm saying in life you have kaifas for one thing. Maybe a kaifas and another thing. It's not so
much.
How do you know?
Correct. I don't think you can be good at two things.
So
but meaning, he's saying to...
That was the thing, right? He's good at both.
No, but it's not like you have someone, you have to teach them something, but you're like a professional.
Yeah.
Teaching Torah, it's not like, oh, you don't do that, you don't teach Torah.
So correct. The person has a chush for teaching Torah, so you can teach Torah and you can also be a lawyer. That's perfectly fine. But it's true. But he's supposed to get Torah. Moshe is the same example of Shlomo Zalman. Moshe felt... that his greatest contribution was the Dibros Moshe. Klal Yisrael apparently did not agree. This is not, I'm saying...
Very long.
It's true. The Dibros Moshe are very long pieces. You have to be holding in the sugya to even... you don't open up a Dibros Moshe like after you did like the Gemara Watts. Like, you have to be holding in the sugya. They're long, they're brilliant, they're complicated pieces. But the Dibros Moshe is definitely, the primary sefer we turn to when we want to know about Moshe Feinstein.
Okay, Hoffman brought this mashal to say that if a person lets their tafkid in life, if they don't use
their skills, so then you're being more of a malchus. You're not using exactly. Right. Not that you can't. You can have two things.
But in the mashal that he just brought, he clearly had skills in both.
Did he have skills in both, or he had a lucky day? I don't know. I don't know if we can be so medayik in the mashal. Fine. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you different kishronos. This is your tafkid. We're soldiers in the army. Each one has to use their tafkid in the best way they can. And our responsibility is to use our energy to its maximum and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the best way that we can. So, story time. He says as follows. He says that a number of years ago, a Rosh Yeshiva and his wife came to me. And they had a son who was 17 years old. And he was learning about Hasmad in Yeshiva. And all of a sudden, not interested anymore. Didn't want to go to the Beis Medrash. Was burnt out, had no interest. So he met with the Bachar and a few times, and he tried to see exactly what was going on. If he had a netiya, did he like to paint? Did he like to draw? Did he like to play music? So he got to the point where he actually loved music. He found that this young man loved music. But he didn't really want to play any instruments. Why? Because he said, it's pasnished. A Rosh Hashiva's son shouldn't be playing instruments. I shouldn't be doing such things. So we tried to talk to him a little bit more. He tried to talk to the parents. They should get him a piano, something like that, something small, not a big piano, but a keyboard, to try to and get him some private tutors. So the father, he was a little bit convinced. The father was like, okay. The Rosh Hashiva was like, okay, we can try. Not such a bad idea. But the mother was Eish Lahava. She was not interested at all, totally against it. Why? Because she was a music teacher. And she tainted that if he starts learning music, then he's going to do music all day. He's never going to learn. And I know what music's like. It's a full-time thing. It can take him your whole life. I'm not interested. He shouldn't be doing it. Bittul Torah. So I said back to her that, what do you have to lose? Because right now, he's not learning anyway. So let him not learn and play piano versus not learn at all. Give the kid something to do. So, and he explained that if he has a hana in learning, and he has a sipuk, and he has something fulfilling, that's going to cause him to get back to the Beis Medrash. Because he'll see that his energy, he has something positive in his energy, and that, once it opens it up, he'll be more balanced. He'll get back to the Beis Medrash, a little bit of music, a little bit of learning. I'm telling you, he said, it's going to work. And that's they agreed. So they sent him to a private teacher, and he got a lot of hana out of it. And then he became back to himself, and he learned how to play the instrument by himself as well. And Be'emes, he says, he went back to learning. That's what happened. And at the end of the day, he was learning full-time basmada. Once, twice a week, he took out the piano, played for a couple of hours, felt great, gave him sipuk nefesh, and he was balanced because he used his energies in a healthy way, and everything came back. He didn't focus everything on piano. He didn't know his whole life become music, but he had a koach that needed to be used. He had kishronos. He needed to be creative in some area, and that allowed everything else to balance out and to be healthy. So he explains here as follows. He says, the reason he was learning all these years is why he wanted to be a frummer. He wanted to be frum. He thought it was frum to learn. That's why I was learning. And his parents forced him to learn so that he could be he's a son of a Rosh Hashiva. He should be a big Talmid Chacham. But there was no sipuk. There was no happiness in his learning because he did it because he thought that's what he had to do. The Gra says in many places that if a person does not have hana and a sipuk in what he's doing, he's not going to be matzliach. A person can push and push and push. But if there's no hana, there's no geshmak, then it's not going to be healthy for the person. He says, let's look over here. Gra, next gra I brought you. In Mishlei Chaf Gimel. So the Pasuk says, Havia limsor libecha loznecha li'imrei das. So the gra says over here, Ki kol davar shalev adam. And he's going to list here three things. Everything that the lev adam is misaveh, umagemes nafshu alav, and his neshama wants it, and he's osa b'simcha, he does it b'simcha. Osa davar miskayim. If you have those three things, says the Gra, then it's going to last. Masha'ein kein im lo yavi libo lazeh. If your heart's not in it, says the Gra, afshia said, if you do it, it's not going to last. The Gra is telling us that if you want anything to be successful, in ruchnis or in gashmis, you want it to be miskayim, you need to have three boxes checked. Taiva. You got to be interested. You have to have a rutzen for it. If you don't have a rutzen for it, it's not going to last. The second thing is megama. You have to see a purpose in it. You have to have a plan. You have to have a matara. You have to be logical. You have to think about how you're going to get this done. He says, Rav Isaac Sher sat with me and he gave me a plan to learn how many dapim a week. He says, at one point in my learning, I was learning Bikias for a year and a half, 45 new black Gemara, a week. He was covering 45 black Gemara a week because he just gave me a plan of how to do it. So point number one being, yes, you can have a real interest in doing it, but if you don't know how you're going to do it, it's not going to work. And the third thing is osa b'simcha. You have to have a geshmak in doing it. You have to have a hana. He says, if you have those three things in life, you'll be successful in what you want to do. You have an interest in it, it gives you a geshmak, and you have a plan how to do it, it'll last. This kind of fits exactly your example of the guy who retired the day after his parent passed away. He had a plan how to do it, but he had no geshmak, he had no simcha. So it wasn't miskayim. He was done. It wasn't going to be for him. Meaning, I can have a rutzon. I can have a rutzon. I mamash have a rutzon to be a big Talmid Chacham. But then I get him from the base medrash, I'm like, doesn't do it for me.
That's not a rutzon. You can have a rutzon to learn.
You have a rutzon, that's it. I have to want to do it. I can't be forced into doing it. I can't be forced. I have to want to do it on my own.
You can't have a
rutzon
to be a
Talmid
Chacham. It's a rutzon to learn, right?
What? Well, you've never rutzoned being a Talmid Chacham. What do you mean? Intellectually, I have an idea. I want to be a Talmid Chacham. Intellectually, I want to dunk. Like, I would like if I could dunk a basketball, a 10-foot hoop. I would like such a thing. I don't have a plan how to do it. And is it going to give me... And once I do it, once I learn how to dunk, is that going to be a good shmah? Like, maybe not. I'm like, okay, fine. I dunked. Like, so what? Okay. There has to be both. You have to want to do it. You have to get a shmack out of doing it as well.
How do you know beforehand if when you're done, you're going to have the shmack?
I don't know. But you could do it with anything. A person could want to go to law school. They have a big idea. They want to be a lawyer.
And they won't have that shmack at the end. So why not?
If you want to...
The rough example of basketball just now.
Correct.
You have to make the plan.
Yeah.
To hire the tutor or whatever it is to help you teach you.
Yeah.
And only once you're done, you'll know if you still have a geshmak.
So in my mushroom, maybe we could say as follows. Maybe we could say that the practice that goes into it, the energy and the exercise to do it, Okay, I don't. If I don't like the working out, I don't like the getting up at 6 a.m. and doing squats and jumping down. If I don't enjoy that process, it's not going
to
last.
Well, what about, let's say, a baseball player, right? So yeah. They have to do
basketball to work with baseball.
Yeah.
They could enjoy doing baseball, but part of that they have to do weights and other stuff to keep in shape.
Yeah.
And that could be terrible.
Yeah.
They could hate that part of it.
But it's not going to last. It's not going to last. If they don't like putting into practice, it's not going
to
last.
We have to link it together and say, even though the action itself
is not
part of the actual part that you like.
Yeah. You have to.
You're still going to fall apart then.
Exactly. You have to like it in some way.
Now we're talking about it. We're saying, much of a basketball, you have guys who are good at it.
Yeah.
And they're driven and they're like, parents say, go, go, go. And they're good at it, but then they get burned out, I don't know.
Exactly.
So I'm saying it's also that
all these pieces. You need all three together. You have to make this cake, you need all three together. You have to have a rupsin to do it, you have to have a geschmack in doing it, and you have to have a plan how to do it. So the Gra is saying over here that if you don't have the taiva, the magmas nafsho, and you don't do besimcha, you can push as much as you want, but you're not going to be matzliach, and it's not going to be miskayim. And he says, I always see these words of the Gra, and this is the source of this whole idea. He says, it's also a Rashi and a Avodah Zarah. And he says, he brings a Rashi, I forgot to say it, but the Rashi says, Ein miskayamas lefi shalibo al tavaso. He says, it's not going to be miskayim if your heart's not into it. It's a Rashi and a Avodah Zarah, a daf yutes. Does
simcha mean the process or no?
He has to be the process.
If he has a time of a dunk, dunking's going to be terrific.
Yeah, but right? The process is correct.
He has to have simcha in the process.
Correct, exactly, 100%.
So
the process.
I heard two different things. I heard if the learner's not being successful, to find something else that you enjoy, and then that will reflect on the learning.
True.
And also making the learning joyful.
True, those two things need to be correct.
Now, some yeshiva, I mean, I guess this is pretty radical, because many yeshivas now, I think, would say that There's no time for anything else. You don't do anything else. They're very right wing. She was.
Yeah. So the if the kid is
always there from 7:30 in the morning till
9:30 at night, and
later.
If the kids kid's floundering and
then,
the kid's not into it,
like, they would never say go play some ball.
I don't know.
They would.
They're supposed to play ball during recess.
I think the very hardcore yeshivas have done away with that.
I'm not sure. So let's look at another gra. I think this is the last gra that I brought for you. The gra Mishlein Perak Aleph. He says, Shibnei Adam Misrachim Atzma Min HaTorah. Who? He says, people distance themselves from Torah for three reasons. Let's just look at the third reason just for now. It's in
the same thing.
Yeah. So Hashlishi, the third reason he says, is Machmash Shetamudam Kasha Alehem. Because the learning is difficult. They want to have the Torah without working hard. When they see the Torah is not being handed to them, so they walk away. Because they don't see its sweetness. And the Gra highlights over here, it's difficult, and they need a sweetness in it. Ze'omer, he says, that a person who learns without Sipuk, it's going to be very hard to continue. Oh, you can be forced to do it, right? I can keep you in the base medrash. I can guilt you into going. But to sustain it, if there's no masikas, if there's no geshmak, it's going to be very hard to do it. You have to give the people this zrizus and this geshmak if you want it to be maskayim in their learning. Let's just come here towards the end. He says, therefore, I thought to say that if a person, this is back to our point, if I teach the kid music and he gets hanah from that, so that he'll be more optimistic, he'll get out of his depression, and he'll come back to learning. And you need to find through each individual, according to their netiyah, according to how they, how they lean, what's going to give them the sipuk and hanah. I saw that this person, this young man, was going to have it with music and playing an instrument, and it gave him a lot of hanah. And a person that has a sipuk and hanah in a certain area, it will give him koach to do other things as well that he might not have less sipuk in as well. And with this, he says, that's what I told the father. That, I told the father as well, learn with him once or twice a week, a ksos, a ribi kiveger, something like a geschmack to get his brain moving a little bit. And that will give him some type of geschmack as well in the learning. And therefore, he says, slowly but surely, he got a hanah from this. He himself got into it. And his energy had a place to go. He had a place to, you know, channel all of his energy in a way and to give him a geschmack as well. So these together, make the geschmack learning, get his energy in a healthy area, and that can really set a person back on track. Through the music, it gave his Yetzer a lot of pleasure, a lot of feeling, and then subliminally, you know, it led him to have the Sipuk HaNefesh, and this allowed to open up this Hana for himself and his learning, and that continued and continued, and giving his energy into other areas of his learning as well.
Which Yetzer?
Which meaning of what?
What do you mean
his Yetzer? Yetzer, desire, something. He need, his, the Yetzer doesn't necessarily mean to do an Aveira. The Yetzer means, the drive to do something, to be creative, to manifest in some area. And therefore, he says, with every single child, this is now big adol for everyone's children, he says, for every child, in the beginning of the learning, they'll learn for a prize. And then they'll learn because they want to get, you know, grades. And then they'll learn because they'll eventually get, hopefully, to learn the Shema. And he'll get a Hana from the Etzel Limon itself. And this is the Rambam says, Mitoch Shelo L'Shema Ba L'Shema, and the Rambam develops this idea as well. But this is the idea. That you always, on all of our kids' learning, we need to make sure that Sipuk is there at every single stage. There's unless, until they, on their own, they can say, you know, I'm in it for myself, then we always have to be, whatever that bribe is going to be, whatever is going to give them a sequence that the Gra is talking about, we always have to be there. For the little kids, it'll be something else. For the older kids, it'll be something more. But something has to be given that drive, that geschmack, in their learning if they want it to be last for a lifetime. So they asked the Shaila. Last question. He said, the parents, when parents have kishahorim megalim sheish bayosim hayal, when the parents reveal there's a problem with the child, so they're ready to put a lot of money to send him, you know, to learn how to play an instrument, whatever it is. But for the average kid, so he says, you have to look and to find what's going to be his kishronos. You know, is he going to have, you know, kishronos in playing music or art or things like that? You could, you know, it could take a lot of money to find, you know, invest in shoving to soccer and shoving to this and shoving to that to find that thing. He says, you know, who is, and it's not so makubal as well in our tzibur. He says, Be'ikar shkat tzibur shalanu, ze lo kakach makubal, to invest all this time and money in outside things. So he said as follows. He says, number one, he says, the natural koach is going to come out somewhere. And you're going to feel it. If he likes to draw, if he likes music, you'll find something. The problem is that we repress it. That's point number one. If it's coming out, you can't repress it. That's number one. Number two, all of this teva, all this teva that a person has, you have to open it up and you have to put money into it. You got to do it. If it means that you got to invest some money in your kid finding something for his kochas to come through, then you got to do it. He says, it doesn't have to be his entire life, but, and it doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money, but you have to find an area, in some area, some time, that you're going to, he says, Tzarech ladas eich lechalek es hazman. You have to divide the time between, you know, knowing Shas and Shulchan Aruch, and also, you know, getting a geschmack in playing music. And before, either he does his homework, or he learns his chumash, and then you'll do some instruments, whatever it is. But you cannot repress and hold back. He needs that sipuk. He says, Yaharig Val Yavar, he has to have this. So he tells a story that his entire life, him and his wife, they put a lot of money on their children's chinuch. And lo his kamsano bikol ma shekish l'chinuch. We were not stingy in any area of our kids' chinuch. Maybe in other areas we were stingy, but when it came to our kids' chinuch, we did not hold back a penny. He says, a person we see, a kid that likes to draw, art, music, whatever it may be, so he would send him to a private tutor to learn how to, and we'd spend the kesef on the money on those things.
I have to say, chinuch is more than just
more school. Chinuch means school. Their growth, their development. He says, by Bein Hazmanim, I paid a lot of money to a bachar who was in Panovich. He says that it was Rushmuel Bauer. Rushmuel Bauer was the neighbor, was the mayor of Bnei Brak in the early 1990s. But when he was a bachar or whatever, he spent a lot of Rachmiel Bauer a lot of money. He was a bachar in Panovich to learn with his sons, you know, so something geschmack in yeshiva to make it geschmack for the son. And this is an area that we're going to give him motivation and really help him out. So in the very last point over here, he says, many times the parents, want the child to do something. They want the child to do something because they think it'll be good for the child. But the truth is, they're tricking themselves. The parents are deceiving themselves. The parents put a lot into the child to read a book, and they think that this is going to be good for the child. But the MS, they just want to rest. He says, go read, it's good for you. Why do you tell your kid that? Because you want to take a nap. You don't want your kid to bother you, right? And he's getting in the way. He's giving you a headache. He says, go read. It's good for you to go read, right? And instead of answering the kid's shilas and talking with your son and being with your kid and doing what he wants your attention, so go read a book, because they don't have patience for the kid. And tell him to go do something. He'll say, no, I don't want to be bothered, but it's good for you to read a book. It's educational. You know, this is important for you to do. But you're not doing it for educational reasons. You're doing it for yourself. And you want peace and quiet. So he says, let me tell the parents something. You need to spend a lot of time with your children. You have to take time and dedicate it to your children, even though you feel you don't have time for it. And if a kid comes to ask you a shaila, a question, and you don't have time for it, so then tell him that you're asking a good question. I cannot answer it right now, but afterwards, come back and we'll talk about it and we'll learn together. Sometimes the child will go and ask the father a question. The father doesn't know the answer. So don't like smoother and say, like, oh, whatever, it's not a good question. He said, if you don't know the answer, say, now is not the time, I'm busy, but let's talk about it afterwards. But don't poo-poo the child and say, whatever, it's not important. Tell the child that I'm going to look into it, I'm going to find the answer, we'll come and discuss it. And sometimes the child comes to ask a question, and the father thinks that it's a silly question. But for the child, it's the most chashuv thing in the world. And you can't treat your child's question like a silly question, because not every question is going to be interesting for you in the answer. It's going to be so intellectual. But be'ikr, the most thing is that he needs to feel that the parent is interested and he has an emotional connection. And you have to tell, if you have to tell the child, I don't have, you know, the patience for it right now, come afterwards. When I have time, we'll talk about it together. Then do it, if that's what you need to do. But don't tell the child that it's a bad question, it's a silly question, I don't have time, it's not important. You have to dedicate time to your children, he says. Tamid listragel ledavar emes. You always have to say the honest thing to your child. You have to tell them the truth as is right now. Tell them that you're tired, you need to rest, you can't deal with it right now. But later on in the evening, later on at night, you know, we'll talk about it and we'll come back to it as well. That's how he says it. I'll just end with one of my favorite stories. He doesn't bring it over here, but one of my favorite stories is that a woman once came to Shmuel Salant, and she asked him if he was sitting with a bunch of boys. He was learning a bunch of either Yoredei, Smicha, Shir, something like that, with Shmuel Salant. And the woman knocked at the door and said, I have a shaila. So he said, what's the shaila? So she said, I had a piece of meat on the counter. It turned out to be treif. I was going to give it away to give it to the guy, something like that. And the cat, our cat jumped up, and he ate from the treif meat. Ate the whole thing. So he said, so what should we do? So Shmuel Salant says, one second. He goes over to the shelf, and he takes out a big Shulchan Aruch, starts flipping pages back and forth, looking, furrowing his brow, comes back to him and says, I think it's going to be okay. Just make sure it doesn't happen next time, but the cat's fine, everything's good. So the Talmidim are looking at Shmuel Salant, like, okay, he finally lost it. He's like 80 years old, like, you know, this is it. He lost his marbles. Okay, we're a shot about a cat, a piece of treif meat. So he looks at them and says, I didn't lose it. He said, let me tell you something. He said, if I looked at the woman, I said, you must be out of your mind. Who cares if the cat ate a treif piece of meat? That's the silliest thing in the world. And I didn't take her question seriously. Or I just poo-pooed her, said, whatever, obviously it's fine. I didn't give it the respect that it was due. The next time that she has a serious question, she's not going to come back to me. When it matters, she's not going to come back, because she's going to think the Rav Yerushalayim thinks that I ask silly questions. And when she has a serious question, she's going to be embarrassed to ask, or she's going to think that it's beneath my, you know, cover to answer such a question. Every single shayla the Rav gets, you have to treat like it's the most serious shayla in the world, and you can't sweep it away. Because when it is serious, they're not going to come back to you. And it's the same yesod when it comes to our children. If every single question they ask you, or even some of the questions, silly question, it's not a good question, not a good question. When they have a real question and they need somebody to turn to, and it's a real issue and they have a shayla, they're going to go to somebody else. They're not going to go to you. Because they say, when I ask my questions, you know, my father doesn't care. He thinks I ask silly questions. It's the same yesod here. It's the same thing Rabbi Hoffman is saying. Okay. To be continued.
When did we start on?